This episode is brought to you by the 5-Day Money Challenge. Get your stuff together with money and increase your confidence in just 5 days. Save your seat at whitneyhanson.com/moneychallenge and join in on the fun. Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hanson, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I am having a little bit of summer withdrawal. So here we are. It's August 1st when I'm recording this, and we are officially, for us, we're like 24 days away from school starting back up. And I'm not a student. Thank goodness I'm done with that. I'm a student of life, but not of the higher education system anymore. But I am a professor, and that is something where I'm looking at this. I'm like, holy crap, I got to get my syllabus ready, and I've got to get my content lined up, and it's just stressful. So if you're feeling the same way, just breathe with me. We can get through this together. And more importantly, if you're looking at this and you're trying to figure out how do you plan your financial life for back to school, take my advice here. Just keep things super simple. Don't overdo it. Buy used as much as possible. If you're a college student, get your textbooks used. Do all of that stuff used as much as you possibly can so that you're saving money and you're not getting derailed. And also, if you're one of those people that thinks you have to do back to school clothes shopping, just don't do it. Like, there's no need to do that anymore. I don't know if that's a thing, but I know when I was a kid, that was like a big deal. So just be really careful about that. Okay, I want to give you a little preview of today's episode. It's a little lengthy, but it is full of amazing content. It's kind of a two-parter. So I got the chance to sit down with Scott Mulvaney, who is a rock star. He's a podcaster himself. He's an adrenaline junkie. He's a really amazing guy with great perspectives on branding for your personal life, your business, and then how you can actually monetize that a little bit further. And before we dive into that, I want to share with you guys a quick money win, because this one is incredible. So this money win comes from one of my brand new coaching clients, Megan. And our first coaching call, the very first one, I was so proud of her. She was able to cut up the credit card during the first call. That is such a beautiful moment, because it's a lot of people use credit cards as a crutch, and it's something that we think we need, but we really don't. So the fact that she was able to cut up the credit card during the first call, I was like literally almost in tears. I thought it was the coolest thing. So hashtag money win. Megan, you are a rock star and you are well on your way to success. If you can make that kind of commitment the first time, I can't even imagine what's going to happen over 3 months. So I'm really excited about that. All right, so let's dive into today's episode. Today's episode is with Scott Mulvaney, as I mentioned. Scott is a health nut, adrenaline junkie. He's a coach. He is phenomenal at sales and marketing. So some of his passions include road cycling, skiing, CrossFit, hiking, rock climbing, skydiving, and philanthropy. So the reason that I like Scott so much is because he truly lives his brand. So his brand and his podcast is called Live the Fuel. And FUEL is really a clever acronym. It stands for Fired Up Epic Life. So living the fired up epic life. And what does that mean? It's different for everybody, but his podcast explores how we can achieve that and try to strive to become the best we possibly can be. So Scott's got a really interesting background too that we're going to dive into throughout this episode, but he has his bachelor's in marketing with a concentration in psychology. And as I mentioned, this is a two-parter episode. So we're talking about the importance of branding. That's what we cover the first half of this episode. And then towards the last half, we talk about once you get your brand established, how can you actually access pro deals to represent companies and save a little extra money. So in this episode, we talk about how money was discussed when he was growing up. I think that's critical to get to that point and understand where people are coming from. We talk about the importance of putting in the work, just doing the time, which is not fun, but it's really critical. We talk about the money to brains ratio. Hilarious. You're going to love it. We also talk about how being a wildland firefighter helped him rediscover his love of branding and why that really pushed him into a different market. Why you should be creating a brand, whether you're an entrepreneur or an employee. We talk about pro deals and how you can access 40 to 60% off on some of your favorite products, and the pro deal code of conduct. Very important stuff. Guys, I am so excited to introduce you to my friend Scott Mulvaney from livethefuel.com. Well, hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today I'm joined by one of my good friends, Scott Mulvaney. Scott, you are such a rock star. I love your story and your mission and how you help people. So I'm very familiar with what you do, but can you give everybody a little quick synopsis of a little bit about your podcast and how you got to what you're doing today?
Which it's kind of funny you're asking that because I literally had to figure out how to write up a synopsis about 10 minutes ago because the university that I finished my marketing and psychology degree at a few years back as an adult student, they launched a whole new alumni portal and I had to build out my profile. So literally I was, I can actually sum it up for your listeners that, according to the dates, 2014, I created the brand Live the Fuel, which stands for Live the Fired Up Epic Life. And then by 2015, had created my LLC, got that all registered. I can thank last Thursday, the Time Hop app for reminding me with a photograph when I photographed the actual certificate that the government sends you back saying, hey, here's your tax ID. And then the third date in that sequence will be September of last year when the Live the Fuel podcast launched, which the tagline for our show, which you've also been on, is we fuel your health, business, and lifestyle. And I think that's a quick summary. Does that work?
Yeah, that's perfect. So you said you studied psychology a little bit and was this your master's degree or was this undergrad?
No, this was actually undergrad. I had originally not planned on going to school because I was a farm kid and was going to a technical school back in high school instead. And I had studied microelectronics technology half the day and regular school the other half of the day at a tech school and got into a company. And then stuff like, you know, I just started chasing the business dreams. But then all my buddies that I met from my high school job working at a grocery store were going to Penn State. So I decided, well, maybe I should be going to college. So then I went to a community college to save money initially, but then really wanted to go to Penn State. And Penn State is more expensive. So then I decided to transfer and register as an engineering student. But I was still paying my own way because I did not plan for college and my family could not afford to pay my way. So I worked my way through college and then realized that I was burning out and I wanted to chase some corporate dreams. So I took time off and then years later went back to school at DeSales University, which is where I was filling out that profile tonight and finished a degree at the end of 2009. Technically it's registered as 2010. And I was a bachelor of science in marketing with a minor in psychology. I was actually doing a dual major and then realized there's no value of me staying in school any longer just to have a BS in psychology because it means nothing unless you have a PhD.
No, it's so true. It's so true. I appreciate you sharing that too. So can we talk a little bit about family life growing up? How was money talked about when you were a child?
You know, I'm glad you're asking that question because you and I have chatted numerous times about my own self-work and my own self-development and me having to pull the head out of my butt and realize that I don't know everything and show some vulnerability. So one of the things I'd realized was, and now that I've been doing more self-study and talking to people like you and other money gurus as an adult, is that, wow, we still kind of hold on to a few of these things. And psychologically, I do remember little statements like, money doesn't grow on trees and well, this is just what we can afford right now and stuff like that. So, and this is no offense to my parents. My father was a hardworking man, still is, and always made sure he had a roof over our heads and we always had a great meal. And it wasn't like we were poor, but there was times growing up, we moved probably 7 times in my life between New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So we always rented. I think only once or twice my dad actually owned and then eventually sold and then went back to renting again. So that's a all over the place kind of answer for you there.
No, I love it. So when did you start to realize that maybe the way you were taught growing up about money had an impact on your life? Like, was that much, much later? Or did you start to realize that right out of high school? Talk to me about that.
Oh, process. I realized it right away. Okay. I was, when as a young, I don't want to call myself an imbecile. Yeah, why not? you know, you think you know everything.
Yeah.
And you think you know something better. And initially, due to my adolescence and immaturity, I think I forced myself that, oh, I told myself that I'm working in a corporate job. I'm working my way up in a company. I'm going to show everybody that I could be something more and something better. And psychologically, that's not a healthy place to be. Mm-hmm. At the time, I thought it was. And I was, you know, making more money than my friends coming out of college in my 20s. So I thought I was doing everything right. But in reality, deep down, you know, you gotta, you know, own your crap and realize that, you know what, you have no right to disrespect how you grew up, what little or what a lot you actually had growing up with. Like, maybe we didn't have the nicest cars or the biggest house and stuff like that, but my father taught me how to work hard. And that is one thing that has carried throughout the rest of my life that now, the years later, I can look back and be like, you know what, Scott, that was the biggest takeaway, man. It doesn't matter what you thought you knew about money and about how you were going to make more than everybody else. Like, the quantity or the extra digits in your salary aren't always what they're cracked up to be.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough lesson to learn too, because it takes time and it takes a lot of self-reflection to come to that conclusion. So I think it's cool that you actually were able to realize that from an earlier age.
Well, it becomes painful too, to be perfectly honest with you. I've always promised you and all my listeners, nowadays, that's one thing I love about this podcast stuff, man. It just got me to finally drop that last wall, and I just don't care. I will tell anybody anything, and I don't hold anything back. So the beauty is, like, Scott is who he is, and he'll be transparent, and either you like him or you don't. I really don't care, but at least my listeners and your listeners know that I'm not going to bullshit you. Yep. And I'm going to keep things completely transparent. So yeah, man, I look back now and I want to go back and like kind of like punch myself in the face. And you know, I studied karate as a kid, so maybe give myself a good roundhouse, you know, take a heel to the jaw, knock myself out a little bit, and be like, all right, dude, you know what? Shut your mouth and you know, keep working hard, but don't disrespect how you grew up, and don't second guess, you know, what it was like to be a farm kid and everything else, because look at all those skill sets that you've always been able to count on, but you took for granted.
Oh, I love that. I think the working hard and that whole element of just like working your ass off and making sure you've got the work ethic put into place, that's something that, I mean, it probably can be practiced and put into practice for sure. I think we can all learn it, but it's kind of hard. So I think that's a really dang good skill that you learn from your parents. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think if I can pass that on to anybody nowadays through my own coaching professionally, or just through the sports that I've coached over the years as well, that I still do, cause I mean, I'm a big CrossFit nut. Mm-hmm. It's like, guys, you got to put in the work. And I can put together the most, I'll relate to CrossFit real quick. You know, I'll put together the most amazing routine and programming, or, you know, I'm executing on the programming that the owners of our gym puts together, whatever. And I can sit there and critique your techniques and give you things to work on. But in the end, the words there are, you have to work on it. Mm-hmm. I can't make you come in, or I can't make you at home put the work in your free time. That is something that you psychologically have to commit to, and nobody else can teach you that. You have to teach that to yourself. And because not everybody's always going to be there saying, yeah, go, go, go. Like, you have to be there in your own head telling yourself to go, 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 especially when the crap hits the fan. And I've had lots of crap hit a lot of fans over the years, especially financially. Like, I've been on a roller coaster ride over the years when it comes to money. Like, I have no problem telling people that it is true that there's a statement out there. People say you can always make more money. Dude, I totally back that up, because I have flushed it down the toilet so many times. It's not even funny.
So, okay, let's chat about that. What was probably one of the quote unquote worst things that you flushed down the toilet?
Oh man. Cars. Like, yeah. I didn't have like ritzy cars. Let's just take it like that. It's just, I think I just didn't really, I think I just took stuff for granted, because I'm like, oh, I worked for it, I paid for it, so I'll do whatever I want with it. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. I think there's just a lot of things over the years. I really, yeah, I would say just, oh, you know what? Actually, I'll give you one.
Okay.
I had a good situation living with a buddy of mine. It was a roommate situation. And this is before I really went full back to school on nights and weekends as an adult to finish that degree, because I was the first person in my family to have a degree. So I decided that was a goal that I always wanted to complete. And instead of staying in that like roommate situation, which was kind of poopy, I didn't really like it. I was like, oh, this is kind of, you know, I'm like, oh, I just got promoted. And I just got like a $15,000 bump per year.
Dang.
And so what did I do? Well, I went and bought a new car and then I went and moved into a really nice loft apartment. Mm-hmm. Cause that totally makes sense. So clearly that's not going to help your timeline goals of trying to squeeze in college on the side too, because at the time I was dependent on my tuition reimbursement coming from the company. Mm-hmm. back when companies did that more. And it wasn't enough to always cover it. So I was always limited by whatever the company was going to pay for. And that's all I actually took. So I was like limping along, you know, one semester at a time on nights and weekends, taking a class here and a class there. And the timeline looked really, really long. And I could, now that you and I are talking about that right now, I could totally talk that up to just me, man. Like, I wasn't fully committed. I wasn't all in. I was still kind of living a little bit of that keep it up with the Joneses, you know. Oh, yeah. And when I increased my bill quantity, you know, I think I mentioned this on the last episode with you. I call it the money to brains ratio. Mm-hmm. Cause like basically I got a whole lot of money, but not a lot of brains at the time. So it was not a good ratio to have.
I love that, the money to brains ratio. I think that's such a great concept. And I totally forgot you mentioned that. That's so awesome. So, okay, let's chat about this whole concept of now you're doing coaching, branding, you're helping entrepreneurs and companies alike with getting their message out there. So how did you end up with the branding piece? What made you decide that was kind of one of your areas of expertise? How did you learn that?
Actually, it's interesting. So I don't want to rip on university, but the university does not teach you to become an entrepreneur. They teach you to be a great employee. I would like to see that shift. I think there are some programs and some universities out there trying to make that conversion. So I'm not going to, you know, rip on them all. But most of them, yeah, sorry. They're teaching me a really good corporate monkey. Yep. And, so just through me doing my own side hustle, just for your listeners, if they didn't know, fast forward, after I banged out that degree, I left the corporate world and took 2 years to be a wildland firefighter. I'm sure we'll dive into that piece, but back to your answer, it was, you know, during that time I, you know, was stuck in the woods most of the time. And it was a lot of time for creative thought when I wasn't like, you know, adrenaline junkied out fighting wildfires. And then when I had my days off, my free time, I was always like chatting with people, you know, that are friends of mine or down in Arizona where I was living and connecting and just hearing what's going on with other people's careers and businesses and everything else. And it started kind of like refiring that marketing education that I had gone through. But admittedly, I wasn't firing on anything that I learned in the university. It was just like every time I heard about these people who had ideas and brands and concepts, and like little things would annoy me. Like Gmail really started taking off, like started becoming like one of the popular email platforms, and Yahoo was just sucking wind. Mm-hmm. And then I would see people's business cards where they had like a logo slapped on it, and it still drives me nuts this day. Oh my God. Only because like a mutual friend of mine, my friend's now wife, just posted on Instagram, like her new business card. And she's like amazingly fit personal trainer and NASM certified. And all those beautiful logos and stuff is all over the card. And then it's her name at Gmail. I'm sorry. No, at yahoo.com. And I'm like, what the hell, dude, like register a freaking domain and get a custom Gmail. It costs $5 a month. Hell, I think you can get it for $4 a month now. So yeah, sorry guys, I get a little off. I get a little fired up about this stuff. But so yeah, so that started really back in 2010 to 2011. I had started really the entrepreneurial pursuit and the branding thing really starting to slowly click because I had found a company called Isogenics, which is a network marketing company. Mm-hmm. And they're amazing nutrition. I've used it still to this day because it's epic and it's one of my side hustles. And I can really thank them because I think their company is great when it comes to their brand, right? It's mm-hmm. it's everywhere. And they're now in like 12 different countries and they're kicking ass and taking names. And I've got my own business team, but it's really hard to have people who all of a sudden feel that entrepreneurial spirit finally flow through their veins. Like it started from me, but I was still being like bundled in that way. Mm-hmm. And again, in the old school world from the history of those companies, they don't understand individualized social media and they don't understand individual brand building. And they don't really teach that. They don't teach you that it's okay to build your own concept, your own mantra, your own brand, your own persona. And in the massive world of just all these different network marketing companies out there or products and services, guess what? People are going to work with you, not just because of that quality product, but they're working with you for you. Mm-hmm. So that is what really started kicking my fire up, man, and stoking it because I was kept being told, no, just follow the system, just follow the system. And I've never been a guy that has ever followed the system.
No, not at all.
So, yeah. So I was like, all right, man. And it's just, you know, rep after rep. And I really through my own journey of eventually creating Live the Fuel. And that's when it really clicked. When I built Live the Fuel, And I finally figured out that acronym, you know, Live the Fired Up Epic Life. And I started building some branding around that just for fun. Oh my God, I was just so I would look forward to my motivational and inspirational quotes every single day. I would love seeing that new like or that new follower. And it didn't matter to me because it was just fun at the time. And that's how I think the best things start, right? And the biggest trick to that is also maintain the fun. Like it can't be all work and no play. And that's really a big part of my brand. There's a whole lot of play and some work. So yeah, again, another long answer to your question, but I get really fired up about branding.
I think it's really cool because there's two reasons I really wanted to bring you on this podcast. One, I just think you're a rock star, and that's not the first reason. But I love that you are.
You're just saying that because we enjoyed our wine the other night,
dude,
okay?
Too much fun. If you guys haven't, go checked out our Facebook Live, our Tipsy Tips. It was hilarious. We chatted for like an hour and shared tips and crazy fun stories, and it was just a blast. So make sure you go check that out. It'll be linked in the show notes too.
I had people message me the next day to like, what the hell was that? And I said, it was something new and fun. We don't know where it's going to go yet, but I had to back up Whitney because it was like a whole new concept. It could literally become its own brand. You have no idea. The whole point is you were inspired by an idea and you took action and you freaking did it. And that's how some brands come into existence. Mm-hmm.
I love it. And seriously, that's actually one of the more popular videos that I've done so far. I was like, yeah, we're killing it. We're doing good. It was actually really funny, very entertaining. So because you're a rock star, I think the way you approach life and the way you have the perspective, I think is very unique. But I love that you are teaching people about branding, because I think branding directly impacts how the marketplace views you, whether you're an employee or an entrepreneur, it matters. So you're really good at that. And I also appreciate that you have this whole concept of pro deals, which we're going to dive into a little bit. But I was hoping that you could maybe share a little bit more about how personal branding can help you as an employee. Maybe you don't want to start your own thing, but how can that help you be the best employee that you possibly can be?
Yeah, actually, I can totally chat on that because I spoke at an event you ever hear of PMI, Project Management Institute,
whatever it is? Yeah.
So lots and lots of very reputable companies employ project managers. And usually project managers, as far as, and this is for you employees out there, are actually well-paid people. Like they actually get a decent salary chunk. They're usually in charge of a lot of stuff, whether they come to product launch, project management, to product implementation. It could be an engineering company, a technology company. When I spent my 5 years with the T-Mobile Corporation, I was an analyst for them. I worked on a lot of product launch and methodology implementation teams where there was a PM side of it and the analyst side of it. So I got a lot of wrap around that. And anyway, I just through networking here, a local chapter here in the Allentown, Pennsylvania area, we're about an hour north of Philadelphia here and about an hour and a half west of New York City. That they invited me in. They said, hey, could you come in and talk to, because I guess PM people, you know, PMI people, they go to the PMI events to get like CEU credits. Mm-hmm. So I decided to talk about personal branding. And obviously, I leaned heavily for their world on LinkedIn, because to you employees out there, because we've all been there, because I have been, I was an employee most of my life, and you're afraid sometimes to start creating your own persona or your own brand, depending on people's jobs. They're concerned about, well, I don't know, policies sometimes and procedures. Like, honestly, if you're a project manager, there's no excuse. You're just a monkey, dude. You're a monkey in the chain. Even if you're a high ranking monkey, it doesn't matter, dude. They could fire you at any point in time. Like there is no such thing as job security anymore. I'm sorry. So you should be creating a brand. Okay. Whether it be the brand is your name or the brand is something that inspires you, motivates you, or fuels your fire. And maybe you have more than one brand out there. You have to create something. You have to start. And my tagline for my business is, you know, control how you exist. And I love teaching people how to start controlling how you exist. And I could take some of the best practices from how I launched Live the Fuel. But to that audience, this is, well, maybe it's almost 2 years ago now. Time flies. They're like deer in a headlight. They're just looking at me like I'm crazy. And I said, listen, let's get back to the basics here. Look at it from a LinkedIn perspective, right? LinkedIn is not technically a social media platform, but they've enhanced it for the professional world beyond the Facebook world, where now they're even starting to take some of the best practices from platforms like Facebook and allowing you to share photos and write your own articles and your own content. So it's kind of funny, but LinkedIn's actually become kind of a little bit of like, hey, I can launch my own mini blog just to the LinkedIn world on this platform. Well, guess what? That's building content behind your name. You're now building a brand persona behind who you are as a professional. So maybe you don't have a brand name and a logo or anything yet, but there's always each and every single one of us has our own brand. You know, there is Scott Mulvaney behind Live the Fuel. Now, for now, just to connect it from branding perspective, I'm all about Live the Fuel. So if somebody tried going to scottmulvaney.com, which I always tell people, please buy your domain. If no one ever bought it before, go to GoDaddy or any of those companies and just lock it down and own it. But Scott Mulvaney technically reroutes right to Live the Fuel. I don't have a separate website. I want one place for my brand. And because Scott Mulvaney is Live the Fuel, it's my lifestyle brand as well as my professional brand. So, is this helping, Whitney, for your audience? Helpful.
So I'm curious though. So if anyone's listening to this and they're like, okay, so I got to create content around my name, they might be missing that next step. Like, okay, cool. Why are we actually doing this? Why does that matter though? I'm just going to get a job.
Well, and this is interesting because this is how actually that event really helped trigger me to create that tagline of, you know, teaching you to control how you exist or just control how you exist. Because guess what? This is the online world. And whether you like it or not, we're all going to exist out there in some way, in some form, in some fashion. So whether you like it or not, there is a brand or there will be one soon, especially if you're a young millennial, there will be one. If you have a Facebook profile, you already exist. Sorry.
you're out there.
and I learned this years ago because I was lucky enough to graduate college in 2010, but like I said, I graduated high school in 95 and I chased business dreams while going to school at Penn State. So one of the companies I got into was a startup and I got to start getting into technology right away before the dot-com boom or fracture, if you want to call it that way, that 99 to 2000 era. So when LinkedIn then launched a couple years later, I was one of the first people on it. And at the time, I didn't understand what that meant. I just said, oh, this looks cool. It's for professionals. And at the time, I'm that young hustling dude, like not even old enough to drink, but yet the owner of the company is like taking me out on business trips because I'm working on one of their launch projects and I'm like the only dude working on it. And when you're 6'4" and you got a suit on, you look older than you really do. So I was kind of faking my own brand because like, I don't think he actually knew how old I was. So made for some fun business trips. Anyway, the point of that though, is that next thing you know, one day we're just chatting one day and, you know, Google is becoming more popular and everybody's like, hey man, Google your name. And I did. And the first thing that came up was LinkedIn.
Oh, wow.
And that was the click. That was the light bulb. And I don't even know what the hell year that was, but I was like, damn dude, like, okay. Like that's the beauty of LinkedIn. If I had to sum up everything I taught to PMI, I said, if you're not on LinkedIn, you don't exist. And if you're a professional, you need to take yourself seriously and leave this meeting today and open a freaking profile so I can invite you to connect. Yeah. Because again, whether you like it or not, you need to exist. These people about being paranoid, fine, be paranoid. Be so paranoid that you need to start now controlling how you exist. It's your LinkedIn profile. It is your content. That is your keywords. That is your SEO, search engine optimization, whatever you want to call it. You don't have to have a website. People literally use Facebook, a Facebook page as their company's website. People use LinkedIn as their company website. It's up to you. But the point is we're going to have a digital footprint, whether we like it or not, unless you're some kind of weird person living, you know, in the woods, you know, prepping and buying an old missile silo and then and building your condo downward instead of upward. So everything's underground because, you know, those people do exist. No offense.
They do.
Please don't come after me with your guns.
Don't worry.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause they don't want to exist. So, but the point is, it's like, guys, like control how you exist. And that's the beauty of this, especially for the millennial generation, which is a big part of your target audience. Like on LinkedIn. There's more people building out their freaking Facebook profile than their professional profile on LinkedIn. Like everybody should exist there. I'm sorry, guys. Like it's a no brainer because they're not slowing anything down any soon. And guess what? The founder, Reed, what the hell's his name in Hoffman? Reed Hoffman. Yeah, I literally just clicked and followed his new podcast. He's launching his own podcast, the founder of LinkedIn. So even that guy is still hustling.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that too, because I think that's something that, especially for millennials, there's a lot of stats and data out there that we aren't just doing one thing. Like you may have your 9 to 5, but you've also got your 6 to 10, and then you've got your weekend thing. And it's just, we're all over the place consistently. And so whatever image you're putting out into the world, make it thoughtful, you know, put some time and energy into that, because people associate you with whatever the heck you're putting out into the world. So if I know, if I'm on LinkedIn and I'm looking at Scott, I'm looking at your stuff, I know you're into fitness. So you prioritize health. I know that you're into helping people become better. I know that you're into branding. Like I can see all of that stuff directly from just reading one page.
Well, and incredible. I can tell you that profile has been, I think it's been redone so many different times over the years, but just keeps getting bigger. That's the most important part. I tell people all the time, like, just like I told you at the beginning of this episode, I'm transparent. I'm going to put it all on there, dude. Mm-hmm. Like when I did that firefighting career change for 2 years, I was worried about putting that on my profile.
Really?
I was like, how is that going to be taking, right? So even, I guess what, guys? That's right. I'm guilty of that too. Like I was worried. I'm like, okay, well, how's this going to be taken? Because, you know, I was this professional and then I'm not, you know, for 2 years, I'm going to look like a flake or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they thought I turned into some kind of hippie or something. I'm like, well, I wasn't really hugging the trees, man. I was cutting them down because they were on fire. So, and then my buddy of mine's like, Scott, are you kidding me, dude? He's like, if you stepped into my office and came into an interview, and then they ask you one of those stupid templated interview questions where it's like, well, could you give me an example of when you're put in a challenging situation and how you overcame that? And he's like, all you got to do is just like pull up a photo and show it to them of you like standing there with a chainsaw with fire behind you. And then if that's your iPhone, like you drop it like a microphone. This is exactly what my buddy told me. He's like, you just do that and like drop it on his desk and just sit there.
That is so awesome.
Obviously we were cracking up over some drinks on that one. But the point was, I was like, all right, thank you, man. I appreciate that vote of confidence. He's like, dude, you did something that less than 1% of the world even understands, let alone has even thought about. And you went and did it. He's like, own that shit. Mm-hmm. He's like, put that on your profile, man. Put that on your resume. Be proud of that. So yeah. So that was, I'm guilty of also second guessing myself throughout my own life and my own career growth. And that's why when it comes to LinkedIn, it's all out there, bro. Like it's, ancestors, it's all out there. You can see it. So I'm an extreme version of how to build out your LinkedIn profile.
Oh, I think that's so great. I appreciate you sharing that. And I know I didn't prompt you for that at all. So you did a really, really great job of sharing why that's so critical and so important for people in today's world.
So yeah, man, own your brand, own who you are, be proud of who you are. People are too worried about what everybody else thinks. Well, guess what? If you're living a lie, you're going to pay for it later anyway. You might as well own who you are, how you step up, how you show up every single day, and make sure people freaking know that. Don't second guess who you are, and don't try and fake and change who you are unless you're changing yourself to a bigger, more powerful, more inspirational person. Sorry, that's me on my soapbox again.
I love it. I'm like, step on up, man. That's good. I think it's so true. And I think when you own who you are and you truly own that, that is when you will thrive economically as well. So that's when you start making lots of money.
All these people talk about, oh, you got to find your flow state, or they're reading these flow state books. I've literally had a dude on my show where we talked about flow state. The biggest hack for finding your flow state is owning who you are and stepping up. Like I've been through so many phases of flow states, even the firefighting never got me to my full flow state. Me breaking up with my girlfriend for 3 months, well, she breaking up with me actually, for 3 months because my head was so up my ass from living out in Colorado and the adrenaline junkie firefighting life and not living in the moment here in Pennsylvania where I was living and trying to rebuild my relationships with friends and family and trying to figure out how to build a business and launch Live the Fuel and all this stuff. None of that was going to work or succeed until I came back and centered myself and was living in the moment and started owning who I was, where I came from, and where I am now today. I got to own all that before I'm going to own where I'm going tomorrow.
Preach it, man. That is incredible. You're spot on. I mean, I can't really add anything to that because I think you said it very, very well. But I hope that at least that message gets clear to everybody to just be who you are. If you're feeling like you have to hide who you are, go find something different. Like, go rebrand yourself. Go figure out where do you prefer, but always stay true to your roots. I think that's really a really great message for people to hear.
And also be patient with it too. Like, I'm all Mr. Fired Up, go, go, go and get action done. But also, this is the online space. You know, it does take time. That's okay. That's why bloggers, these multi-millionaire bloggers, dude, they were blogging for 5-10 years before they exploded. So it is very rare that you're an overnight success as a blogger, for example. And that's just one medium of content.
Yeah.
Again, you could be a viral Facebooker, viral Instagrammer, Twitter, you know, whatever, blogger. It doesn't matter. It just, you have to put in the reps. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have to envision where you want to go, and that vision is going to change. But as long as you're taking time to start putting in those reps and start building some kind of brand, and the brand will grow and modify and it'll change. I'm literally, this is making me think. I'm taking a note here because I'm going to write down, go back over my old logos, and I'm going to go put together a collage of just in the past 3 years, where the logo started, which looked like ass, and where it has come to today. Because I broke my marketing rule and just was, I said, I just need to have a fire logo. And I slapped together a fire logo, and like, that's how I launched it. Now, to be fair, that was to assure that I could at least take action and launch my Facebook page way back when. But it's like, okay, in the end, I still didn't like it because I didn't take the time to like fill out a creative brief. And that's a whole, I'm giving marketing speak, sorry, but like, just taking the time to define who I am, where that brand could be going, what it's going to become. And most people just say, oh, well, I'm going to call it Johnny's Hair Salon, and I'm going to go and get a logo off of this cool website, 'cause it's got scissors on it and a dude's mohawk. And that's going to be my business, and that's going to be on my business card, and that's going to be on my website. It's going to be on my Facebook page. And I'm like, no, dude, like, what does that mean? Like, are you even making mohawks? Is that even a thing? Do mohawks exist in Idaho, by the way? I don't know.
No. I mean, no. Okay. Mullets don't either, in case you were wondering.
Right now. So I'm just having fun with this, but it's like, I did spend a little bit of time living in South Carolina, and there's some interesting lifestyle down there. But anyway, but I'm having fun with this because we should have fun with this. Like, use this, like, have fun with trying to figure out a brand and be patient with yourself. And again, take the time, you know, to start creating content and seeing if you like the content. 'Cause if you don't like the content and you don't like, what the brand is becoming and where it's going, then stop and figure out where you want it to go. Like, don't just keep slapping crap up there that you can't embody and believe in. 'Cause people do that all the time too, by the way. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's very apparent too, right? Like, when somebody's not being true to themselves, it stands out big time. Like, you can immediately tell.
It's painful. Honestly, for me as a marketing guy, like, I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, I feel your pain, because I was like, how could you do that? But people just do that because they don't know any better. And that's the scary part, is people are doing that day in and day out, and they're not living to the fullest. And I'm going to bring that up again too. Famous Ernest Hemingway quote that inspired Live the Fuels creation was a quote that I was saying all the time for years, which was, live life to the fullest. We can thank that powerful, powerful poet from, you know, the Ernest Hemingway man himself. So
that's cool. I like that. So let's start switching gears and talking a little bit about these pro deals, because I have a feeling that stemmed from, again, being authentic.
Those are some great brands.
Yes.
The good brands are expensive. So it's all about the pro deals to have those nice brands.
So what the hell is a pro deal? If somebody's never heard of that before, what does that even mean?
A pro deal. So before firefighting, a buddy of mine who grew up in Alaska, he grew up ski race coaching. Or I'm sorry, he grew up ski racing in Alaska, and then did it in Utah. And then he moved here, and we were just hanging out one day, and I was hardcore into biking. And the thing about extreme sports, which I'm very fond of, is that the gear is a little pricey, because you want the good stuff. And it's like, man, it's like, there's literally people living in Colorado where their bikes cost more. Actually, there's some people right here too. But there's people who have mountain bikes and road bikes that cost more than their car, because they're that passionate about their sport. Mm-hmm. So I'm just laying this groundwork to understand the power and the value that goes into people's brand selections and who they're going to align their shopping with and who they're going to buy stuff from. So, and then let's connect this to the ski racing thing. Skiing is not a cheap sport. And my buddy's like, listen, man, you're getting me back into mountain biking. Why don't you come up and start ski racing with me? Show up as a volunteer the first year. This is way before I was even worthy of becoming a coach. And I was just, you know, setting race courses and carrying the gates that the kids hit, you know, and ski slalom courses through and stuff. And then long story short, I got registered with the USSA organization, which is, you know, basically the US ski teams organization, as a member. And then eventually, you know, went and got certified as a coach. But the cool thing was, as soon as I became a member, I'm looking through the website and like, oh, here's all of our partnership brands. I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. Like one of them, for example, is Audi. Like if I went and bought an Audi and I showed them my USSA membership, I get a discount.
Dang.
And I was like, huh, what the hell is that all about?
Yeah.
And then I'm going through and there's other, like, for example, like there's a top of the lines, a ski pole that you ski with and it's called Leaky, L-E-K-I, Leaky. They're from Europe. Hmm. One of the best made ski poles out there and they're not cheap. Well, I've got I think that one's either 40 or, long story short, pro deals can range between 40 to 60% off. And it's like, dang. So yeah. These companies want to align themselves with professionals because they want the professionals who influence others by what they wear and what they utilize to use their brands. So it's brand representation. This is basic marketing 101. Mm-hmm. When you see a pro athlete, even a golfer in the US, you know, PGA Tour and all the other stuff right now, it's like there's like they're rocking a Nike polo, you know, darn well Nike didn't charge them for that. They hooked them up with that gear. You see a Nike swoosh on a pro athlete, they're getting paid for that. Yep. So most people see it as, oh, well, they get free gear or they get paid to wear that. That's at the upper echelon. Then there's stuff that's readily available to people like us every single day who aren't the, you know, upper echelon athletes, but yet we are professionals that are in different organizations and these companies have recognized that over the years and have set up professional deals or pro deals is a nickname for it. Where you can buy stuff at cost, at discount, severe major discount, whatever. And that way you can get access to your quality gear to help you do your job better. But also it's a way for that company to make sure that their professional stuff is on professional people's bodies.
Okay. So how does the average Joe like me get involved with that? Or can I?
Well, yeah, actually. So, and hold on. They just got rebranded.
Go figure, right?
yeah, as they say. So for years, there was a company that I used called Promotive, P-R-O as in pro, and then motive as in motivate, but like M-O-T-I-V-E, promotive.com. They have since been rebranded into, okay, now it's called experticity.com.
Experticity.
So like experticity. So okay. E-X-P-E-R-T-I-C-I-T-Y. So there, you can go right to experticity.com or click on promotive.com and it reroutes you and they'll send you over there. And you can register your email and then start building out a profile. And for example, right on the homepage, there's already companies on there. Like if you're as a guy, I have worn Quicksilver, like is a brand name for surf clothing. And the North Face, major outdoorsy company. Yeah. You see all these logos are on the site right now. And this is just a tip of the iceberg. This is just a few of them. They even have stuff from like Purina and Tom's Shoes.
Wow.
And Arc'teryx is a very high-end outdoorsy company. Salomon is a ski supply company, outdoorsy company, shoe company. Dyson. Dyson's a vacuum company, for God's sakes. And right here, if you scroll down on their site, the next section says, what do we mean by experts? And it says people whose passion, experience, and knowledge inspire everyone around them and are great at helping others decide what to buy. For example, three bullet points here, industry professionals, retail sales associates, and expert level enthusiasts. So that's just what this site represents. And now, and again, right here, if you scroll down even further, it says, what do we mean by extra? Well, bullet points here, a chance to be heard and recognized by brands. So when you build out your profile, you can actually write about these products, by the way, in your profile, which builds out your experticity level. And then there's expert only product discounts up to 70% off of retail pricing. So obviously each discount level is determined by each company and also who they're dealing with. Like obviously are you an industry professional or are you somebody who works in their stores? Because literally if you're an employee of North Face, you have a pro deal because you're an employee.
That's amazing.
So Experticity, formerly Promotive, is a platform, and there's others out there, is a platform that these companies can now just outsource that responsibility to, because a lot of these companies used to do all this in-house, mm-hmm. and they'd have to develop a special web URL to send us pros to and stuff like that. And now a lot of them are just like, you know what? I don't even want to deal with it. I'd rather just deal with a company that manages all that for us. So that's one company. And then another company is called, because I just set up a profile with them too, Outdoor Pro Link. So outdoorprolink.com. And I actually had to set up a profile on here because for years I have been buying my roof racks. Roof racks or hitch racks for bikes or whatever. Like my girlfriend's rack is a Thule, Thule. I'm a huge Yakima fan, Yakima. Thule is Swedish. Yakima is made in the USA. But Thule comes from the Northeast US and Yakima is from the Northwest US. So it's like East Coast meets West Coast. But the cool thing is, for example, anybody, and here's your hack. So even if you're not a pro, guys, here you go. If you like to ride bikes and if you've ever been on a dirt trail mm-hmm. and you like mountain biking, you should join IMBA, which is IMBA, which stands for International Mountain Bikers Association. This is a worldwide organization supporting trail sustainability and trail maintenance, and also teaching people to be better trail-minded people, better cyclists, etc. Oh, that's cool. I've been a member of IMBA for over 10 years. That is actually technically where I got my first ever pro deals through before I became a USSA ski race coach and a USSA member. I'm also a member of PSIA, which is Professional Ski Instructors Association. But now here's a little hack. I never went and got my PSIA certifications because I was already a USSA ski race coach. So here's the difference though. IMBA, you know, it's a paid membership program, right? You're paying because your dues go towards supporting their fundraising and everything that they do to go around and improve trail systems around this country and around the world. Same thing with USSA. Like USSA, I pay like $160 a year to be a member. And PSIA, it's, I don't know, I think it's like $140 or $150. IMBA, I think, just because I like to get a free pair of socks every year, I think I pay like $50 because they have different tiers.
They give you free socks?
Oh yeah. Like, it has IMBA branded biking socks. That's so awesome. And if you don't need a little bit, it's like that whole marketing thing. Like, hey, if you pay $25, you get your membership for the year. If you pay, $40 to $50, we'll throw in a pair of like socks. If you pay like $60, you get a t-shirt. You know, it's just like different tiers of you showing your support as a member. But then once you're in, well, then they have all their corporate partners. So I'm on IMBA.com's site and they go to partner link and they have partners. And there's literally a massive list. Actually, hold on. 7 pages of linked companies in here. One of which, for example, let me ask you, do you have a Camelback or one of those backpack bladders?
Yeah, man, I do. I have a few.
Okay. Yeah. What did you pay for that?
Anywhere
from $50 to $80?
Yeah, probably so. I'm pretty sure. Okay.
Join IMBA. You can have a pro deal.
No kidding. So it's like, so 40 to 60%, sometimes even 70.
Yakima for me right now, I think is 40%+. Thule is also, I think, I just did an order. So I've been giving you guys some hacks. I'm also going to give you guys some warnings. When you get this obsessed with pro deals, it could get a little dirty. All right. I'm trying to be good about not wasting money. And I probably shouldn't be saying this live on the air. But anyway, it is a pro deal. Okay. Pro deals are for me. Okay. I'm not here to buy crap for other people.
Yeah.
So my friends can't be like, hey, Scott, could you go buy me that stuff? And I'll just pay you for it. Mm-hmm. I need to protect these professional relationships.
Yep.
Yeah. Have I like later on hooked somebody up? Like, for example, here's the story. I already bought my girlfriend a nice hitched, you know, you put on the hitch of your SUV on the back end and it holds two bikes from Thule. Well, I'm looking at upgrading and buying another mountain bike in the next year here, which is going to be a fat bike with like 4 or 5 inch wide, fatty mountain biking tires. It's like riding on balloons because I geek out on bikes. But her bike rack won't support that huge width tire.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Thule came out with a new upgraded rack, which has all those features built in, and the locking system is nicer and everything else. So a week and a half ago, I was like, well, babe, I believe in, you know, law of attraction and manifesting my dreams. So I have a goal to get this bike. I'm setting aside money for it. So I said, well, here's what we're going to do. Your girlfriend, she's trying to help get healthier, needed a rack. So it's like, listen, I'm just going to sell her your rack. Mm-hmm. And that justifies me upgrading to the new rack.
I love it.
And she's that's just awesome. She's like, the rack's only a year and a half old. I'm like, I know, but it's obsolete and yeah. It doesn't have the features that we need. Yep. So there's the dirty side of it. It's like you might find an excuse to do upgrades from time to time because there's something better. So,
so be careful with the budget, but I mean, it's,
yeah,
I like it.
A good example is her rack retail. The old one yeah. Retails for $430.
Jesus. Those are spendy.
Yeah. I got hers for $2,000.
Wow.
So yeah. You literally like, I think it was like $225. Like it's like half. It was ridiculous.
Amazing.
So it's like, hell yeah. I'm going to keep my IMBA membership for the rest of my life.
Heck yeah. I think that's so cool. And I appreciate you sharing too, that don't take advantage of the system. Like it's not there to be a jerk, like be yeah. a nice human being about it. Be ethical. It's there for
because
people
these
that are
companies
really
are nice enough to hook us up. And right. Here's the hack I just gave you guys was I love IMBA. I love my trails. I love trail running on dirt trails. I love mountain biking on dirt trails. My girlfriend's a horseback rider, whatever. Well, this is one of these organizations that has really put together amazing trail sustainability efforts. So I truly believe that everybody should be a member of IMBA.
That's cool.
And then, oh, by the way, they have corporate partnerships. So it's kind of like not necessarily an actual pro deal because you could just be a member. So it's really just a membership association that you're getting out of this. So I nickname them all pro deals because I've been in the professional space. But to be fair, that nickname isn't really accurate because Whitney, you don't have to be a mountain bike racer or a bike teacher. You can just go join IMBA and then take advantage of all the partnerships that they have.
And support the trails too. I love that, exactly. Especially here in Idaho.
It's a win-win. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute. They want you to donate your money as a member. And then, oh, we've already contracted with all of these companies because those companies also respect what IMBA's doing. And they say, listen, all of your members deserve a discount on our stuff. It's a freaking win-win, man. It's awesome.
That is a sweet hack. I really, really love that.
Yeah, I figured you would.
It's going to save me a shit ton of money this summer. I guarantee it.
Again, because we're part of my brand, Live the Fuel, right? Is about healthy lifestyles, right? So it's like, hello, I want to see people getting outside and enjoying the outdoors more. And I will tell you right now, you enjoy it more when you got really cool gear.
Yeah,
and especially
oh my God, yeah.
When you're not like, guys, stop going to Dick's Sporting Goods. I don't want Dick's to sponsor my show. So if they don't like me saying that, too bad, too sad. Because I think that's for rookies. And it's okay, guys. If you guys shop at Dick's, I'm not busting on you. I'm just saying that's entry level, guys. All right. When you're ready, once you start like really increasing your outdoor activity or your sports and stuff like that, stop going to Dick's. Okay. It's a chain. They don't really have the level. I don't go to Dick's. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I was 10 years ago, sure. But I go to the local businesses, the local bike shops. I go direct through the companies because I have these pro deals because these are the hacks that I've learned. Mm-hmm. Because if I can get a top of the line product for almost the same price or maybe $50 more, for example, compared to what I'm paying at Dick's, I'm going to go pro deal, baby.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. You'd be crazy not to, honestly, like at that rate too. I think that's why people shop at Dick's and some of the what's the other one? The Sportsman's Warehouse, those kinds of stores, because
they serve a purpose.
They do.
And again, the reason why it's cheaper is because they're convincing the manufacturers to manufacture a lower grade model at a bulk quantity. And it's, I'm not saying that it's terrible products like their jackets and stuff, but I could tell you that what you get direct through the company is not what they sell at Dick's. Mm-hmm. So I can get upper level echelon gear at the same price, if not better, because of these relationships. And then I get to work directly with the company. So, I mean, again, if you're a retailaholic, then here's another reason why I do a pro deal. Stay the hell out of the store.
Yeah.
Although this may improve your online shopping skill sets. there's a side effect.
Yeah, you got to be careful, right? Of course. It's like everything's ebb and flow, so just be careful. But if you're going to be spending the money and you want to get something that's great and you're willing to represent that brand, I mean, exactly. Heck yeah, do it. That's a great opportunity.
And that's just it. Like, I continue to honor those companies. That rack came, I built it up, I took photographs of it, I made a little collage and posted it on Instagram for my biking followers, you know? So it's like, Thule knows what they're doing. You know, they're, hey man, we hooked this guy up with a pro deal and now he's posting photos about it. So it's a win-win.
I love that. Scott, let's start wrapping it up, but I have had so much fun chatting with you, and I know that everybody would love your podcast too. If they like this show, and if you're listening, of course you like the show, duh, make sure you go check out Scott's Live the Fuel. It is crazy inspirational. So if you're into the mindset and you're interested in optimizing your health and your wellness, Scott's podcast is totally for you. So make sure you go check that one out. But where's the best place for people to connect with you? If they actually want to have an actual conversation, what's the best place to go?
Honestly, because I know marketing, everything is Live the Fuel, guys. So if you go to livethefuel.com, all the social media profiles are linked there, but obviously everything is at Live the Fuel. But on my website, I've got a built-in scheduling feature now too. So literally people can click on schedule and they can pick out different ways to connect with me. If they're looking for like nutritional support, like Isagenics World, I've got appointment options for that. If they're going to be coming on the podcast, for example, like you, Whitney, there's options for that. Or if there's people looking for like intro to business type discussions, I've got options for that. So I've made myself more transparent and more accessible because I have no clue what all your schedules are. So here, there's my schedule. That's what I'm willing to open up to the world. Look at it and pick a time. So
beautiful. Livethefuel.com. Yeah.
That's
so
it.
So Scott, thank you so much for joining. It was a blast chatting with you as usual. And guys, all of the links to everything that Scott mentioned is going to be linked in the show notes. So make sure you go check those out on themoneynerds.com. Scott, any final last tidbits of money wisdom before we part ways?
You know, like I just kind of joked around about, just be careful. Okay, guys, it's like, it's exciting to have access to new deals and new discounts, but always remind yourself that if you're listening to Whitney's show, it's we're learning to be smarter with our money. And yeah, I have access to all this stuff. That doesn't mean I'm shopping left and right. I wait until I truly do need something. I gave you that little rack story just as an example, because I was using that as a stepping stone towards one of my next, you know, gear goals, which is on my vision board. So there's a whole different purpose behind all of that. And that was planned. Okay. So be smart with your money. And this is actually my biggest tip. Spend it on good quality gear. Because when you buy the good stuff like these pro deals, it lasts for years. If you buy the low grade crap, then you're going to be switching it out every year or two. And you would have spent the same amount of money if you just bought the good stuff the first time. So that's my tip.
Love it. So many good things in this episode. Scott, thank you so much again for being here. It's always a blast chatting with you.
I love your energy, girl. And your show is awesome. So, and I thank you for having me on.
All right, guys, what'd you think? The thing that really stood out to me about this entire interview and this conversation with Scott is how passionate he is about helping other people live this amazing life that we don't necessarily think we can do sometimes. I think that's really cool. And the other piece is how humble he is with financial mistakes and just ways that he would have did things differently. I think that's really cool. And I loved how he encourages us to find different ways to save money and to take advantage of different opportunities that are in front of us instead of letting those pass us by. So I think that's really cool. He has an amazing podcast. I highly encourage you check it out. If you like this show, you will absolutely love his. He interviews very impressive people, Olympic athletes, all kinds of coaches. I mean, literally entrepreneurs across the board. So if you're into that kind of thing and you're into health and fitness, you're going to love his podcast, Live the Fuel. Go check it out. Leave him a review as well.
All right, guys, that's it for today. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have, share it with your friends and your family or whoever else. And I appreciate you listening. Thanks again. And I will see you next time for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.